Many of us have become good at covering things up, and we carry things inside of us that we never truly confront. And some of these issues trace all the way back to our childhood. Others are habits that we've developed over time. Some are defense mechanisms that we've built in order to get past pain. Someone once said, pain suffered alone feels very different than pain suffered alongside another. Even when the pain stays, we know how great the difference is if another draws close, if another shares with us in it. This kind of comfort comes most fully and powerfully visible in the incarnate, where God comes into our midst and into our lives to remind us, I am with you at all times and in all places. These things are inside of us. These painful scars, the ones that hurt, are things that we might never see. And these hidden wounds often lead us to either lash out or to withdraw, both which creates dysfunction in our lives. And we've been covering some of these things that have often caused issues if we don't work them out, things like greed and comfort and jealousy and guilt and addiction. And then we also talked about things like anxiety, which many of us live with. And anxiety isn't always a sin, and it can be a medical issue. Or things like guilt and fear, those things aren't always sins either. Some of these things, in the right context, are tools to help us survive and cope with the hard things in life. Another one of those things is grief. And that's what we're going to address today, grief. I have not experienced grief like some of you in the room. I haven't yet lost a parent, and I haven't lost a spouse or a child. I haven't had a painful divorce. But grief is grief. And we have all experienced it on different levels. And we also know that it's not a contest of who has the biggest grief or whose story is the saddest. My grief has come in different forms over the years. A brother estranged from our family for 15 years, leaving churches as a youth pastor with students that we love immensely. Or turning 40 this year. That's been a big one for me. And these things might not seem like very, very, you know, big issues of grief, but they are real, and we all struggle with these types of things. One area of grief that I didn't see coming was missing my kids when they were little. Now, they're amazing now, but no one prepared me for missing 4-year-old Noah, right? Or 6-year-old Chloe. And we're blessed, and I am not complaining. But sometimes it hurts to look back at old pictures, knowing that you can't go back for just a moment. Now, as a follower of Jesus that's part of a church family, I'm so happy I didn't have to go through these things by myself. Now, grief comes through all kinds of things. We can grieve about how things affect us, how things affect those around us. And if you haven't yet realized it, there's so much that happens in our lives that's outside of our control. And at some point in your life, maybe recently, you've been blindsided by something. That thing has taken your breath away, and you feel stretched to your emotional and physical limit. You may be trying to hold it all together, but anger and frustration and hopelessness and disappointment all flood your heart and your mind. But I want to tell you today, it's okay to not be okay. And it's okay to fall apart and let it all out. It's okay to lean into the arms of your Savior. It's okay to cry. It's okay to ask questions, express doubt. Take those questions and doubts to the one that can do something about it. The psalmist cries out in lament to God in Psalm 102. And if you ever wonder if it's okay for you to kind of break down, you got to go and check out some of these psalms. Psalm 102, verse 1 says, hear my prayer. Lord, let my cry for help come to you. Do not hide your face from me when I am in distress. Turn your ear to me when I call. Answer me quickly. For my days vanish like smoke. My bones burn like glowing embers. My heart is blighted and withered like grass. I forget to eat my food. In my distress, I groan aloud. I'm reduced to skin and bones. And we see this follower of God, this person that has great faith, that writes scripture, and he is saying, God, do you hear me? God, I am suffering. God, don't forget me. And the psalmist cries out in an honest prayer that he feels forgotten and he feels hopeless. But then if you were to jump down to verse 12, after getting all this stuff off his chest, he says, "But God, I know you sit on the throne. God, you have compassion on us. God, I know you will hear me and you will do something. You will not leave me here alone." See, grief and lament are tools to help us process loss. And until we lament, you can't move forward. Until you let the floodgates loose, it's all built up and you're stuck. But then after a surge of pain and grief and sorrow, then you can point your heart back to what you know to be true. The death of a loved one is perhaps no greater time of grief. People talk about trying to process during times like this. Your head is spinning and you wish you said or did this. What was the last thing you said to them? You're trying to grasp what's happening and you can't even begin to look forward to holidays without them. And we're headed into that time where people really struggle with this type of loss, where memories are both precious and painful. And during overwhelming times of grief like this, Scripture gives us some wonderful things to hold on to. See, the Bible is full of regular people with complicated lives just like us. King David went through a terrible situation with his son Absalom, who had overthrown David's kingdom, and things were tense, and it was already a place of great heartbreak. And despite King David's orders, Absalom, his son, was killed in battle by his own army. And David was crushed over the loss of his son, and he was overwhelmed with grief. And in 2 Samuel 18:33, David, it says, the king was deeply moved, and he went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would I have died instead of you? Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." And you can hear the pain in the king's words, the hopes and dreams of a parent that they have for a child extinguished. No parent is prepared for that. And situations like this feel wrong and they feel unjust, and that's because they are. Before sin entered into the world, death didn't exist. It's against God's plan. It's against his design. In fact, Paul goes as far to call death our enemy in 1 Corinthians. But see, God encourages us to mourn because death was never meant to be. Death is sad. It is unnatural. I've talked to people that have been up in their years, up in their years, whose friends and family have long passed away, and they yearned for the next life where the enemy, death, will be crushed and defeated forever. And they look forward to that. Death is one of the loneliest feelings that someone can experience. It's easy to believe that no one feels what you feel and that your situation is unique, but the death of a loved one is a universal experience. No one gets through life unscathed. And you can be tempted to judge your situation as worse, but that only drives a wedge between you and the people that will want to be there for you. None of us know when a devastating situation like this could happen to us. And this is why it's so very important for you to be building a close network of friends and believers that would come alongside you before something like this happens. People that are there to catch you. And the way that you ensure that people are there when you are broken is to be there for broken people. Now, no, not everyone that you help will reciprocate. But the Bible tells us if we want friends, we have to be friendly. I've often found it a pattern that people who say no one does this or no one does that are also very rarely that someone for someone else. And I don't want to make that mistake. I want to be someone, not just for them, but so that I might build community for when I need it too. Because we reap what we sow. Susan M. Johnson says, "If another stands beside you when you face overwhelming terror and helplessness, then everything is different. Shadows are not so terrifying. The struggle can be shared, and sometimes the fight can even be a thing of joy as you together defy. We all know it's better not to be alone in the dark. And that connection with others makes us stronger. We need each other. But even if no one else shows up, we are still never alone. When we're in the throes of grief, we can remember that Jesus suffered the most grief and pain on the cross for us. The act of ultimate evil was used to trap Satan, who was defeated by what he thought was the victorious blow. But then Jesus rose from the dead, defeating death and the grave forever. Jesus cared so much about us experiencing the pain of death and the ultimate death of in a place called hell that he himself died to save us from it. And that's the person that wants to walk through the valley of the shadow of death with you. You're not alone. Christ wants you to draw close to him through this valley so he can protect you with his rod and guide you with his staff. Tony Evans says, when you are going through a rough time, remember that Jesus Christ invites you to get to know him better through it. He will hurt with you, and you will get to understand him better in the process. Suffering is a call to intimacy with Christ. When we walk through hard things with Jesus, we can experience the power of the resurrection. God cares about his children. In Psalms 34, 15, it says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. Pastor and biblical counselor Paul David Tripp lists 8 things to do when grief and loss show up in your life. And the first one is this: to be honest about your emotions. It's true that you can't base your whole life and every decision on your emotions, but the ability to feel was given to you by God, and you need to pay attention to that. Emotions are a roadmap to what's going on inside. So don't hide from your emotions. Take them to God and address them and admit them and give them to him. That's why it says in Psalms 55, 22, that you can cast your burdens on the Lord and he will sustain you. But Paul also warns us that there's a type of grief that can't see hope. And that's not where we want to be. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, he says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. See, we got to remember that there is hope in Christ. Regardless of what we're looking at, regardless of how painful and hurtful it is and how much the weight of grief is on our shoulders. Jesus still wept for Lazarus' death, even though he knew he would raise him from the dead. Why? Because death is always sad. But we don't get stuck in that hopeless grief. We got to be honest with our grief, but also push our heart to hope. And that's number two. First, we are honest about our emotions, but number two is we run to where comfort can be found. All real and lasting comfort comes from God. God is in charge of comfort. When Paul was going through struggles in this life, he said in 2 Corinthians 1:3, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. Isaiah told us that the Messiah would bear our griefs and carry our sorrows, and he does. And if you need a comforter, God is where you should go. God has placed himself in charge of comfort. And the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity, has a nickname, the Comforter. So run to where comfort can be found. Number three is important. It's this: don't fall into grief traps. Moments of sorrow are also moments of strong temptation. And you want to feel something else, so you may be tempted to run to a bottle or a pill or pornography. Those things may distract you for a while, but they will leave you feeling more and more empty and hollow. And there are other types of temptations as well: doubt and anger and self-pity and envy, and bitterness. When you see these things creeping up in you, run to Jesus for forgiveness and strength and protection. And it's tempting to excuse your sin because you're going through something really hard. But sin is always bad for you. Don't fall into those traps. Instead, when you feel those temptations, run to the Savior. Be honest with your emotions. Run to where comfort can be found. Watch out for grief traps. And then number four is open yourselves up to God's helpers. God designed life to be done together, and we need the help of others. But don't assume that people know what you're going through or that they know what you need. Don't push people away and be upset when you feel alone. You have to be honest with people and invite them in. And look, it won't always be the people that you thought it was going to be. But you need those people around you. You need to be honest and you need to open yourself up. Because sometimes we just need people to remind us that God is good and that this won't last forever and to watch out for temptation, or maybe just someone just to sit there with us. Don't push those people away and go through it alone. And we also need to be patient with those people. They won't always do the right thing. They won't always say the right thing. They aren't perfect, and their attempts to comfort won't be either. We've got to open ourselves up to those helpers. And then number five is perhaps one of the most impactful, and that is be thankful. Be thankful. Gratitude is a mighty weapon against the darkest times of grief. Even in the most terrible situations, you can find clear signs of God's presence and love. 1 Corinthians 5:18 says to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And you say, well, that's easy for somebody in the Bible to say. They didn't have any problems. No, this is Paul, and he lists all his problems. Have you ever been in a shipwreck and almost drowned? Have you ever had your friends turn their back on you? Have you ever been bitten by snakes and beaten to death and all these terrible things? This is a person that was sitting in prison saying, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Even while you're in the circumstance, in the situation, you can find something to be thankful for. Now, you don't give thanks for this pain of losing someone, but there are always little lights of God's grace and love to be found. And if you are looking, you can spot good things that God's doing, even in the midst of darkest times of grief. Even in those times of darkness, if nothing else, grief can remind you that you had something so very special. And that is something to be grateful for. Be thankful. Number six is to don't neglect your spiritual habits. When grief overwhelms you, your Bible can feel so heavy. It can seem pointless to pray or to be with your church family. But these are the times where you grow the most. And that's when you exercise your faith. When the bench press is stacked with both depression and loneliness and sadness, lifting up our faith in those moments is what builds strength. You need your spiritual habits now more than ever. That's what tonight we're going to talk about at Together Nights, these things that can help us through these times of great hardship. These things remind our heart who is God and who is not. And they remind you that in your grief and pain and loss, those are things that are just happening right now. And there is hope, if only in the next life. And that's number seven. Celebrate eternity. Look forward to life with your Savior. There's not a more important time to remember that this world is not the end than when loss and grief surround you. How things are right now is not how they will always be. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. If you're a believer and you have placed your hope in Jesus, then you have a bright future that doesn't include sadness or death. And lastly, number eight. That's give away the comfort that you've received. 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4 tells us that God comforts us so that we might comfort others. Comfortees become comforters. And if God's given you comfort in your grief, you're meant to pass it on. Don't be a hoarder. If you've gone through something and made it to the other side, it's time to go back into the fray and guide someone else out. You still have purpose. And if you're not dead, God's not done with you. Don't let grief rob you of your purpose. It's taken enough already. Grief left unattended inside us can cause real problems, and it can grow into things that will hurt us if we're not careful. And the only way out is through. Grief touches every one of us in different ways and at different times. But the good news is we don't have to carry it alone. Jesus meets us in our sorrow, not to rush us past it, but to walk through it with us. Let your pain lead you closer to Him. Don't wait till you're drowning in grief to build a community. You need it now. Don't isolate yourself. To have friends, you have to be a friend. But it takes work. Start right now. When the time comes, be honest and be open. Accept the help. Be patient with people. Don't fall into temptations like self-pity and bitterness or quick fixes like drunkenness and sex. Exercise your faith when the weight is heavy, and you'll find that your faith is stronger for it. And in the end, always remember that God is near the brokenhearted. You are not alone, and your grief does not have the final word. The resurrection already got the final word. What's happening right now is not what is going to happen forever. There is coming a day with no more sorrow. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I know for some in the room, this is a very real thing you're still going through. Or maybe talking about things like this have brought you back into your grief. And if you were to say, Pastor Phil, you don't understand what I've been through, you don't know what it's like, you would be absolutely right. And that's why it's so amazing that you don't have to trust me. You can trust that God is with you in this. And there are those here that have been through things like you're going through, and they have made it through. Have hope. God is near the brokenhearted. You don't have to go through this alone. Today, before we head into our time of communion, I just want to pray over everyone. And if you're in this time where you feel like either, you know, you haven't yet experienced big grief like this, or you have to the point where you feel like, you know, God's given you victory in that area and you really feel like you're doing good, I want you to pray with me as we pray over everybody in the room that's still struggling with things like this, a death of a loved one, or a diagnosis, or the loss of a job, or financial situations that can cause grief, whatever it may be. Let's take our church family to Him in prayer right now.